This is Jonathan Philpott. It's February 23rd, 2008. I'm at the American Legion with Mr. Elmo Gabbard. And are you his son?
Yes.
And his son. We're going to talk about his military history. It is about 12:45 p.m. So if you don't mind, just go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Elmo Gabbard, and I'm born August 3rd, 1980.
Okay. My notes don't say what branch of the service did you serve in?
I was in the 4th Division. It was motorized division at that time. But we moved up to New York for a ship overseas. Then they made it an infantry outfit, foot outfit. And I was in the ordnance. So our company was shipped over to New Guinea. We built a little place called Melody Bay, where we landed at. We stayed there, say, 3 or 4 months. Then we moved on up to Orlando. And there the trucks and things were stacked as high as you could see, high as a crane could lift them. And there's GMCs, ambulances, and Jeeps, and ducks. So our job was to keep the 32nd Infantry going. It was stationed there. There's a foot out there. And they put them, ships would move in big droves. You could see them as far as you could see. You don't expect to take another hour. So our job was to get them whatever they needed, in a lot of Jeeps, GMCs, and other things. And so our job was to get them ready for it. We'd have about 20 days to do that. So we'd do that. Then we'd do medium maintenance, you know, our replace motors, rear ends, and front ends, and transmission, clutches, brakes, everything beat up. Then we had a gun shop. If we had a parts place in the garage, we had to build that ourselves. It took us a month to build it. Before we'd go back to work, I was up in Orlando. There in Melody Bay, we just worked out in the mud. It rained 30 days and nights. We'd lose the rights. Couldn't go down and get it, had to go get another.
It just sank in the mud?
Yeah, sank in the mud. That was our job, was to keep everybody happy. So when they had to overhaul the trucks, bring new trucks out, they was in crates. And the steering gear was disconnected, and the wheels was off of it. So we had to get that out and put that all back together, you know. Then we had another bad fault. It cost us a lot of time. We'd get them started. That salt water that back then was putting plastic needle valves in the carburetor. That salt water made them swell in there. Couldn't work. So we had them line up as far near the back to town or further, waiting on needle valves. That shipped back to the United States to get steel needle valve. So that was a big, that's the thing we had to do, you know, keep up our stuff. That we get a lot of sabotage motors out of the United States, brand new, especially white motors. We'd start them up, they wouldn't turn over. We'd take that motor out, take the head on, there'd be a lock washer or something on top of the piston, couldn't go up. So we'd have to record all of that down and send it back to the company.
Huh.
That's the kind of work we did. We had two big wreckers. We had to pull out where anybody got stuck. Sometimes they get stuck very bad up on one of them islands. We'd have to send a crew up there once in a while to help dig them out.
Okay.
Then on top of that, we'd pull guard. Every once in a while, we'd have to stand up for a pew where they'd get killed, you know. Things like that, that's what we had to do.
Did How old were you when you went into the service?
I was just 21, I believe. I went in 1941, July 1st.
Did you enlist or were you drafted?
No, we drafted.
Okay. Where did they send you for boot camp?
They sent us we went to Fort Thomas and took all the shots. There were six of us in the group I went in. I don't know where I lived. And we went to Fort Thomas and they transferred in and moved us by after a week. So, what's the name of that place? I thought it was. But anyhow, it was training for a bomb before they shipped us on to Fort Benning. Down there we lived in tents. Later on, say 6 months or something, maybe more, they moved us and built a new camp at Camp Norton, Georgia. That's right out of Augusta. And we moved from there to Fort Dix, New Jersey. New Jersey on to California, that's where I went.
Is that where they sent you to the South Pacific from?
Yeah. South Pacific. It was we brought our money out there from Queen Wilhelmina, a Dutch outfit.
Okay. Did you leave anybody behind, a girlfriend or a wife or anything at that time?
No, but I did run into something that most people wouldn't run in. And I had a graveyard up our above us somewhere there at Atlanta. And we thought we'd go up there and see who was in it. It was just two or three graves, just started, you know. And there's a boy from my hometown that was right out here about my son. Buck had a boy. I wrote his mother and told her about it. Of course, that was my job anyhow. I had a that's my job. I had all them men to work. We had 160 of us. About 10 or 12 of them on KP Ranger. And the rest of them was guards and things like that. We'd have post a guard every night. And I was in charge of the whole 160 men. That is, working at the garage.
Right, right. Okay. Let me look at some of my questions here. Did you know anything, or had you heard anything about the war in Europe before?
Oh yeah. I had some of the best friends I had killed in. Was in our company. You know, they transfer out of our company every once in a while. Long ago, I had one boy, the best friend I ever had. And he was really, he couldn't read right. He couldn't, I'd read his letters and things for him. But the best soldier I've ever seen. He was absolutely the best soldier I've ever seen. And he wanted to get in a, he said we was in a Boy Scout outfit. He wanted to get where there was something. And he wanted to be transferred to him. And they transferred him to infantry outfit. But he come back down there about 2 weeks before we went on up the road, you know. And wanted to know if he'd get back in the outfit. And I went to the captain, he said, yeah, we don't need a good man. And he said, next day he didn't show up. Next day he come down and said, well, said, he just go on with the outfit. He's in, said, they'd die and go to hell for him. Said he would live. First day letter I got from Keith Faulkner, boy I went in with, was telling me about him getting a big boy, a big shell sitting in the foxhole with him. Just brought the boy.
Well, let's see. Did you have a lot of pressure and stress then, did you feel like?
Yeah, we had a lot of stress now. While we was over there, I don't remember for 7 or 8 days rest. That's, we worked every Sunday about it. And one day we did get off, I got the captain's jeep. We went down to the airport. We drove up there to a big old transport plane, sitting there. It was really hot. While we sit there, we had a blowout. That damn top come down, if they come down on that top, come down there, kill it. Other people had to get us out of there. And we see everything.
On your day out.
Then I see the P-38 come in and the wheel come off of it. And that wheel went out of sight, straight up. It come back down, directed, hit that tarp, hit that hard rock, you know. It bounced half that high again. Just come on. Huh. That thing just piled a bird out when it slowed down. Had a lot of Australians over there too. So we had the Japs got the sniper a little bit at us, you know. And they had a bunch of Australians come in there. And so they cleaned them up. I mean, they killed every one of them.
What were the Australians like? I didn't know that they had
fought. Were big, it's all big tall guys. They was a hell of a bunch of more than hats, you know.
Were they friendly?
Yeah, they were as friendly as they could be. They'd drive in there and eat with us.
So they took care of the snipers, huh?
Yeah, hell, they cleaned up snipers out. we had a captain got shot behind him. I swear that sent him home.
Well, that's
But now we had an awful good captain for a long time there. He was out of Pennsylvania. His name was Rocco.
Did the snipers try, were they trying to shoot the officers?
No. How he got shot, they built up a water tank out there. Of course, take a bath in, you know, kept it full of water. Just turn it on, take a shower. And he went in there about just almost dark, about got to shut him.
Tell him about the boy you was going to pick up.
When we was in Atlanta, we lived right in the middle of it, right square in the middle, 7 miles and a half from the dock, 7 miles and a half from the airport. And I had to go to the docks that morning to pick up some stuff we'd ordered at the shop. And I ran into this kid. And he flagged me down. Looked like he about 18-year-old, maybe young. And he ordered over. I got over where the 32nd infantry outfit was. And I told him I did. I said, "Get in here, ride down to the docks with it. I'll take you down there and come back." And I come back. He hadn't moved like left this table no more than that. The more I was talking to him, then I shot right three times.
So snipers are really bad then, where you were.
Then I ran into a boy, two boys, from Mount Sterling out there, my hometown. One of them, a boy I played basketball with, went to school with. The other used to be a judge here in town, Woods. Some of the boys went to the hospital, and this fellow wanted to ask if they know me, and they said they did. And he wanted me to come and see him. I went down there, and Junior Murphy lived down here on the road. Good friend of mine, he died.
Recently.
And he had some kind of kidney ailment, finally killed him. We had to take malaria pills every day out there. Every day, we took our malaria pill when you went to breakfast. Before you got your breakfast, you had to take that pill.
Probably bad to see.
And we just about a yellow jump, yep.
Did anybody get malaria while you were there?
No. But this boy that died, this buckhead boy, he died with malaria. Huh. He got it out of early, you see.
Okay. Let's see. I was going to ask you, what did you think of the, your fellow officers and other soldiers?
I had a great bunch of men help do the mechanical work, you know. I made a lot of them. Boston, we had an ignition and, a carburation man. And we had just regular mechanics shooting stuff up, Some of them didn't know hardly as much, putting in transfer cases and front ends and rear ends where we could check them, Of course, we had a few new ones. They kept a few of us out, sent them over the other. Boys in Germany or England. We had seven or eight new boys. We had didn't know a whole lot about what was going on. Most of us, our outfit was out of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Kentucky, and a few out of Indiana. Don't remember what out of Ohio, not one. But they was all good soldiers, good workers. Never did cause me no trouble.
No, did they play pranks on one another?
Or? Oh yeah, he got everything. He put that match in their shoe, you know, set the bar, and they come out of their fight.
Tell them about the time that you the ship broke down with you.
Oh well, that's going over. Right? Yeah. We got to the Philippines, and that old boat was on, took it 42 days to go over there. We had a tour in the Navy, and we got over to the Philippines, the motor went out of that thing. And we'll be there 2 or 3 days. The captain let all the men go to, they brought a big boat and bring us ashore, you know. Let them all go down to the Philippines. And hell, we got ready to come out of there. They was all drunk, had MPs, had to bring them all in, ship ready to leave when they got the last load in. They got a lot of them was in jail.
tell him what the captain said.
I told the captain, I said, you made a hell of a mistake, guard. He said, I damn sure did, Sergeant.
Couldn't get them back. The ship was ready to go and they couldn't get the men back on.
Just something like that all the time, you know. We had trouble with men losing their minds in our company. And most all of them that lost their mind was college graduates. Sure was.
What would they do as far as that went? Like, what would they do as far as
they just start walking. Huh. Walking. They'd send them down to my outfit, see if I could get them straightened out. And I'd get them straightened out maybe for a week. Next thing you know, it'd be a walk around that shop. It's a big old shop, big long shop. But I have it that really hurts me. I see them kids lose their mind. Mm. We had one boy when we left her. Donna Hugh Boy lives out here in Spencer. And he lost his mind the first week was in. And his hair was black as coal. And then a week it was white as snow. Mm. They got us out there and got to giving us shots when we stepped off the bus, 3 or 4 shots. Then they got us out there, got us drilling. We ain't hollering, got out of me more than anybody because I'd always never done nothing but drive a mule. And he got out of me and the other fella got in the pipe there and I knocked him down. And they run up there and grabbed me, a colonel, 2 captains and a lieutenant. He's going to try me that night at 9 o'clock. And they give me a launch, a lieutenant for a launcher. They got up there to try me. They had never swore me in. Couldn't do nothing. They turned me loose.
Well, you were lucky then, weren't you?
Yeah. They didn't forget me. I stayed there a week. I cleaned them stovepipes every damn day and night. I mean, at 12 o'clock every night, I had to polish them.
Watch what you say, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter to me, no. Anything, it's fine.
But now, a lot of them dogs. Then you run into boys that had trouble, you know, at home, especially in the States. They go home, the wives would be out with somebody else. I've hit a many before. I was a sergeant there. I'd hit a many one in the boiler room. Or somewhere where the cat could have somebody to answer his name at roll call. Or then the captain told me, said, Sergeant, don't you think you've been had long enough to get that man in here? I said, well, I've got to be in here, but take another day or 2 to get him ready. They had a lot of trouble that way. Go home. Had one boy come in home with his wife and left him, sit out on his foot locker, and shot his brain. Right next to me. See a lot of things.
I can imagine.
Then we had 2 boys when I was overseas. They bombed the Japanese, you know, put that bomb off of the wars over like that. Them two boys were gonna go out that night and leave the next day, supposed to left for me. Went out that night. Now that other place was, they moved to the 92nd Infantry, they was all black. And by God, they killed both of them. They were the best musicians I've ever heard in my life, good singers, and good boys. They lived in Virginia, Louisiana. Most of the cooks was out in Mississippi and Louisiana. We had good cooks, real good cooks.
Let's see. Let me ask you. Did you have any contact with this, like the civilians while you were in the Philippines or overseas? With the civilians, did you see much of them?
No, I didn't see them. About all we had over there was natives.
That's what?
Natives, little not too big of people.
But what he asked him, were you able to mingle with them, talk with them?
No, yeah, they'd come up there and shine their shoes. And, you know, we'd give them a nickel or a dime. You could take a pair of shorts and get anything you wanted to wear, like we were, you know. But now those days, they was pretty good. They never bothered nobody. I watched them kill a hog out there one morning. They'd dig a pit, about wide as that right here, and cover it over brush, and them wild hogs would drop in there. And I went down there and watched him kill one. They went down and had a little boy there, they shot it. They don't kill that old hog dead. And they tweezed that thing, and cut it up in pieces, and he went to the house and got all his family, his wife and all his children. They come up early, he'd give them one of them a piece to pack. And he'd walk along with that matches, you know, he had, big old knife. If he didn't get it all, they'd have to come back. He never packed nothing. They packed it up. Mm-hmm. They'd wrap that up in them big leaves mm-hmm. out there and bury it, I reckon. I never seen what they done with that, but I noticed they had them big old palm block leaves, you know, and they'd wrap it up in them. But they fished all the time. They'd be out in the boats with a spear. They'd catch whatever time a spear went down. Be all every sea. Had canoes. But I didn't see those civilians at all.
Other than snipers, did you have, you know, any problem with the enemy, basically? You know,
no,
being around where you were?
No, what we know. We knew what they was doing. They'd send these airplanes over, four of them, big old airplane, B-24. They'd go over and spray their gardens. Well, they put a guard down, kill the gardens, the Japanese gardens, start to starve them out. And one plane come back, and you could see them walking around and throwing stuff out of it. The rest of them, the other three went up, right smart, hit them. We missed this one, and we barely missed our shop. Went over it, and had to go over a little road like that to get into the airport. And now Georgie didn't make it, hit that hill. Mm. Burned all 13 of them.
You actually didn't see the Japanese where you all were, actually.
The only ones we seen where they captured them, you know. They sometimes walk in. You know, when they're starving to death, they just walk in and get themselves out.
Let's see.
But we used to have busy. We couldn't do nothing but work.
So did a lot of the other soldiers have it easier than you did then?
I mean, they did now, especially quartermaster, stuff like that. Infantry boys had a lot of time off, you know, between battles. We never, it was day
and night that way. Okay, let's see. Do you remember the day that the war ended?
Yeah.
Where were you then? What were you up to?
Honolulu.
What were you doing?
We fixed to move on up the pit chain. next
month.
Fitzhaven. The other island, all up the road.
Okay. Was that victory in Europe or?
A victory in Europe. I remember it was over two.
Okay.
I kept informed on that. The boys would write me that I was in my outfit with an amateur. Mm-hmm. They would write me and tell me what was going on.
Okay. I had
three brothers. One of them was over in Patton's Army, and the other two was in Korea. My brother died, the last brother that died about 2 years ago, wasn't it? He flew the mail over there. He was there. He flew the gun for sure for 28 years.
He was a pilot.
Okay. What did you do when you got back home?
Well, I worked at the post office first year. They wanted me to come up there and help them. And then I went back to the farm. I farmed all my life.
Was it hard, you know, to adjust to coming back home, or were you just glad to be here, or how'd you feel about it?
Getting back home, it took us a long time. It took me a long time to get readjusted, you know, the weather. But over there, I was almost back where I had a suntan. Here, when I got in, I believe it was in February, I believe it was the worst time I've ever seen.
I froze dead, man.
Snow on the ground. And the fella met me that I went in with, named Keith Faulkner. He met the train down there about 11 o'clock at night. And I was on that train. He brought me home. Me and him left here together. Had a real bunch of boys. Charles Boyd, a boy that went with us, went with me over there. Keith went to Germany. Me and him slept the same tent while I was overseas. Mm. All the time. He stepped up over me, and, you know, I had a tip of myself.
Was that pretty unusual for people, you know, from the same place to get to stay together?
Yeah, it was. It was. Me and him went through, from day one, we never were separated. In Port Benning, New Jersey, Port Dix, everywhere. But we went together overseas. And I'm the only one I live with. They all did now but me. Unless the boy that lost his mind, whether he still lives, I don't know. His name was Stanley Donahue. I guess he's been 3 or 4 years since I heard from
him. Is that?
All my family's dead. I'm the only one I live with.
Was it just the stress of fighting, or what do you think was causing the, you know, the people to lose their minds?
I don't know. I have no idea. Now, I know they sent two or three boys in there from other places. Thought maybe we could work them and get them occupied, something else to help them, but it never would happen. That's the hardest thing I had to, you know, have to live through that. You know, good boy. Real power. We just had outstanding
coverage. Stress.
No doubt about it.
Stress me.
Has your, I guess if you're the only one left, you don't now, but did your group ever have any reunions or anything like that?
No, sir. I've had several boys that come and visit, but I had a book. Had everyone in the company filled it out, told me where they live, everything, you know. And something happened to that book, and I never found that book. I had a woman there, Queen of my house. And I read it, and she burned it or done something with it.
It still may be.
Now, I don't know where none of these boys live. Now, I had two boys come on about 5 or 6 years ago.
No, it was later than that.
Later than that?
It was back in the
Mississippi, yeah.
Late 80s, it came in to see him. They hadn't seen each other for some 30-some years.
And I didn't know him. They didn't know me.
They didn't want you to. They called us in advance and said they were coming not to tell you, see if you could recognize him. Of course, he couldn't. Yeah, he knew.
I'd sure like to know some of their names. I'd like to write them.
That was fun.
Especially the boys in Arkansas. They come and see me. And I had some boys out of Indiana come and see me. Had another boy from West Virginia. He come by and brought me a gallon of moonshine. He make a moonshine. He's hard enough to up in the high. Andy Atkins, I know him again. I had several boys from Kentucky. Went found a Corbin up there. Breathitt County, all up in there. I had one boy from out of Lock County. His name was Gibson. And he's a great big old lanky boy, didn't know much. We had them beds, we sleeping in one on top of that. And he thought he was at home next morning. That's probably down at Port Thomas now. He rolled out of that bed, hit the boy and broke his arm. Just his thing, that's it.
Well, let me ask you, if you could share a piece of wisdom with future generations, what would you say to them?
I just tell them that's like I told you, like it is. Like it was. I just say, if you go to the Army, be a good soldier. It's better pay off every time. If you had 8 ball giving us trouble, they'd capture and transfer him. He'd like, if he'd rather fight than carry on, sit him where he could.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add or talk about that we've not covered in the interview so far?
No, I suppose I know.
Okay. Well,
we've been a good talker. That's how I come in to be a sergeant in the Army. But now I really, really like my men. They done the job. I said, done.
Well, that's...
Well, we were cited twice. Citation. Company citation. I counted up on the points they got to come home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it didn't mean much over there. It kept us till the war's over.
So, were you all like high points then? Did you have a lot of points?
We had enough to get out there twice. Them citations had to give pretty good, you know.
He was in there 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Weren't you? Didn't you spend 5 years?
About 4 years.
And the way the points worked is you got points for different things, and the more you had, the more likely you were to be let out.
That's what we points for every year, you know.
They probably called merits, weren't they? Probably got merit or demerit, depending on your
success. We had an old general come up there. He was a 3-star general. And I went to the shop that morning, and those lieutenants was all gone. Wasn't no one up, nowhere. And here come that old general in there. And I didn't know what to do but go high about it. I went up and reported to him, you know, saluted him. And he said, where's these damned officers all? I said, they find out I was coming, and I'll scoot it out. He said, Rickard, you can take me through the shop? I said, yes, sir. Me and him put in just about 2/3 of a day. He'd watch everybody work. And he got ready to leave. He shook my hand and said, you're a good man.
Is that one of the citations you got? Was that?
That citation was just come with other things. But our company got a good read on that, but even, I guess the officers all got a pretty good schooling.
Anything else, particularly good memories that you have from?
Yeah, I've had a lot of good memories, yeah.
Anything in particular?
You
about told them, I don't know.
Wasn't much to do, just we'd have to get out of that. Lanny Ross, he was a singer, you know. And he was in a company right next to him. And he come over, and them two boys that tell you got killed. They sang all night. They were good singers, boy. Good musicians. And Lenny, he used to sing. He come over and he'd be up every night. Yeah. And once in a while, they'd have a donut party, you know, have donuts, things. And another thing that stuck out by my mind, I was on Sergeant of the Guard. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a drizzling rain. And our kitchen was run off of a generator. Mm-hmm. It had to crank it to start it. And I come by there about 4 o'clock and I see this guy had his legs over, had a hold of something. His name was Bill, he lived in Bell County. And I walked on up a little piece, looked back, and he still stood there. I thought, I'll go back down and see what he's doing. My job was to get the cooks all up, you know. So I went back down there, and he was just dead as a stone. He cranked that thing with his hand on that spark plug, killed him. I thought I said killed him. I don't know what they were turned in. Of course, I had to write letters to everybody that got killed in our company, you know. Then we had another boy that did the shop. He was building a boat. He got a P-38 gas tank, and he's going to cut it in two. And I come by, and he had that torch in his hand. And I said, Mike, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to make me a boat. I said, don't you put that torch in the damn thing and blow up. Well, I walked out nearly there to the other room, and that thing went off. And I didn't see him nowhere. I run back down there and I looked up and there he was up in the cross of the brace and went across that hole. And the first thing I see was his eyes dangling back and forth like that. They come right up, hit him out the face. Killed him. I had to write his sister, he was having his check going, his two sisters to go to school in Mississippi. Just think that guy you hate to do, you know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like even though you had a lot of bad times, you had some good times.
Had some great times. Sure did. I went fishing over there. The boys made me a fishing line out of string and twisted together, waxed it all up, made me a little bowl of dough ball. I went down there to the place I'd pass every day or two and throw that thing out. I sat there maybe a minute. And all of a sudden that line took off and I grabbed that line. It broke in half in two. I could feel the weight of that fish on it. It must have been a big old shark again. I went along, I was back up to camp.
Like playing basketball, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a great basketball team. I played basketball all the time. We went to Army's in the States. We played for 2 years, never lost a game. And there were two boys out of St. John's. And had another boy from New York somewhere named Sorrell. And a boy from Berea up here. I was in charge of the basketball team. We really had a good basketball team. We played every company over there.
Well, that seems like a good place to...
Yeah, played baseball. Played baseball before we went into the Army. Played the day before I left to work, where I live. We got $10 a day a game. That's why I went up there. Got $10. Got up there, and Keith lost his money in the poker game right away and borrowed my $10. Went gone about 5 minutes, he come back broke. See, when we went in, first 3 months, you got $21. Mm. My check was $13 a month. They said, washing the insurance out.
$13 a month.
Well, I thank you for talking with me.
Yeah, I have a good talk.
I'll probably have you sign this release form. I think I mentioned it before we started. And... I'll If you actually, if you just want to sign it, y'all can read it too.
He's my supervisor. He.
All right.
I don't see where I lost one eye. Had a heart attack, a stroke. Lost one eye. Can't hardly see out of that.
Will this be something that